Today's show is sponsored by Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood asked me to show someone how I see them, like really see them. So this ad is dedicated to one of our amazing team members here, Sophia. Sophia, I see you fighting every day for those often overlooked. I see the way you go all out for LGBTQIA rights. I see your hard work, empathy, and kindness. I see you as someone willing to go to bat for the unseen. I feel very lucky to get to see you, the real you. I'm so glad we got to spend some time at our Ragnar race together recently. Planned Parenthood sees you too, and all of us, not just as patients, but as people, deserving of understanding, compassionate, quality healthcare, and education. And they understand the importance of having access to that care so you can define exactly where you're going. Visit beseen.org to learn more about how Planned Parenthood is here to see you become who you will be. That's beseen.org. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. Here is where we speak with the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, and well, just anybody I feel like talking to. And on today's episode, we've got Betsy Magato. We'll get to her in a minute. Just want to give a quick shout out to Alkaloid. If I haven't mentioned to you, I'm back here at Alkaloid on the Beltline. That's where this podcast started all the way back in 2017. I love working here. This is not a paid advertisement. This is just me giving shout outs to Alkaloid. Many of you know I was at WeWork for a time during the pandemic. I got a great space there by my buddy Jay. But I'm back here on the Beltline, loving it, walking every day to go get stuff, a coffee, a juice at the Playa Bowls place. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Swinging by the Beltline on the east side, send me a moat. Hey, Matt, I'm swinging by. Maybe we'll have time to say hello. On today's program, Betsy Magato. Now, some of you know I put a race on called Run the ATL, where we run around this entire Beltline. We also do the Winter ATL, where we choose some different adventures. We also have done a couple of beer miles. All those went away for a little bit for pandemic, specifically the beer mile. But we're back. Actually, it's not even true now that I think about it. We did do the winter and summer with COVID responsibility, of course. So the beer mile did go away for a little bit, but the summer ATL absolutely is coming up, and you can sign up for that. It's a way to see Atlanta like you've never seen. Go to runtheatl.com or go to Eventbrite to search Run the ATL. So Betsy had done my race, and we were friends on social, and then I saw she worked for a company called Charge Running, and I'd seen Charge Running was working with Tess, who's been on the show, to do some stuff, and they're a cool running app, and I thought, you know what, let's get an Atlanta guest on, works here, lives here, talk about some fun stuff like running, which I really enjoy. Hadn't done an Atlanta episode in a little bit, so here we are, back on the Atlanta podcast, Betsy and I, from earlier this week. Oh, here we go. All right, Betsy, we start with the easy question. What town did you grow up in?
What town did I grow up in? I grew up in Dublin, Ohio. I've lived all over the place.
Which is famous for what?
Which is famous for being the headquarters of Wendy's.
Okay. And what else?
It's outside of Columbus, so there
are the... Are you afraid of that microphone? You were holding it like you are like a dainty... There we go. Like you're... There you go.
Like right
a,
on it.
Like an ice cream cone, we say. Just like an ice cream cone. So... What else besides the founder of Wendy's? Anything else?
What else happens in Dublin, Ohio? Well, I grew up in my mascot in school. We were the Shamrocks.
Okay.
So that was cool. The Ohio State Buckeyes are nearby.
Okay.
So a lot of people like them.
Right. Large campus, lots of students.
Large campus, lots of students. It's flat there. That's great. Really, really great place to grow up. It's a suburb of Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. So. Were you a runner as a young person?
Yeah. I have been running since I was a little kid, getting chased by my brothers.
Okay.
Then outrunning my brothers and, you know, starting in, you know, sixth grade track.
Okay.
All the way through, haven't stopped.
Okay. What was your favorite distance as a young person?
As a young person in high school, I was a quarter miler or a 400 meter runner.
Right.
So you got to run as fast as you can pretty much until you puke.
Correct. Who were your running heroes when you were a young person?
Flo-Jo.
I was going to say, got to be Flo-Jo.
Flo-Jo.
Guessing the age range.
Yes.
I was going to go with Flo-Jo.
Yes. My dad actually, like going into the state meet in like junior or senior year, he found a picture of her and wrote on it and was like, you can be anything you want to be. And I used to like paint my nails red.
Yeah.
And, you know, the little freckle-faced redheaded version.
Right.
Flo-Jo in my heart.
Have you gotten to meet Flo-Jo?
No.
Okay. Do you think you might?
I'd love to.
I don't know. I mean, listen, these things happen. You know what I mean? Sometimes we get to meet our heroes.
Someday.
As we get older.
Someday. The running world is small.
Right.
And.
Well, listen, like if you go to the Peachtree Expo, right?
Yep.
Like you can meet Meb, you can meet, you know what I mean? So it's not unheard of.
Is Flo-Jo still with us?
I wasn't sure.
I think.
Did we lose Flo-Jo?
I think we lost Flo-Jo a number of years ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, the wonders of the phone. This is what I do with Siri. So I only use it for, hey Siri, call my wife. Don't call my wife right now, Siri. And hey Siri, is this person still alive? Hey Siri, is Flo-Jo still alive?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Could you please repeat it?
Hey Siri, is Flo-Jo still alive? So she died over 20 years ago, Matt. Get with the program. That's why you haven't met her.
I haven't
met her.
She did. And she will meet her someday.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, she died while I was finishing up college. Those years of finishing up college and maybe not paying too close attention to news. Yeah,
she died of – and we didn't all have, like, you know, social media every day. She died of epilepsy. I'm really sorry. R.I.P. Flo-Jo. It's okay. You were hesitating, and I was like, is she being shy because she doesn't want to embarrass the host? And that's fine. It's totally okay. Like, Matt, no, I can't meet her we all believe we're all going to meet, you know, in that great running track in the sky.
Great tartan track in the sky.
Oh, my goodness. Did you, in fact, go to college and run?
I did not go to college and run. In fact, I truly did not. I got a scholarship for books. And then discovered the other side of college.
Boys,
fun
drinking.
And friends. And yes, but I always ran through college and actually never stopped running.
What school?
I went to Ohio University, not the Ohio University in Columbus, Ohio, which are the Buckeyes and all that, but Ohio University Bobcats.
Right. Not Miami of Ohio.
And not Miami of Ohio.
Ohio Bobcats.
Yes.
Are they Division I?
MAC.
Well, that's the
Midwest Athletic Conference.
Right, but Division I, which they now call FBS, which is like basically the big schools versus the Division II or Division III or the smaller schools.
Yeah.
So they pay, they go, hey, come run here and we'll give you books.
We'll give you books. And I was like, you know, I had run track in high school and played soccer in high school. And there were a couple of seasons where I was doing both. So by like my senior year, I'm going to like track practice and then going to soccer practice. And I was kind of done.
Right.
So needed a little rest, but the love of running like was always there. So I'd run, I would drag my friends out to run, which they always really appreciated. And then, you know, never ever stopped. And then,
but when you're that age, mm-hmm. and your friends don't want to run, why would they do it with you? Like, be like, no, go. I'm going to be here hungover. Like, get me when you're done, and we'll have lunch.
And that would happen a lot. My runs weren't quite that early in the morning in college.
Still,
but you know,
do you remember sleeping till noon?
Yeah.
Do you know the last time you slept till noon?
Oh, it's been years. I've got three kids.
As do I.
And there's no noon happening. Like sleeping in now is like 6:30.
Yeah, and that's a trick, young people. Young people, you think that like maybe when you have like you understand from the movies that babies keep you awake all night, but even when they're not babies, your body hits a certain place and your body knows there are other people in the house and they may need something or whatever. It's over. You will never sleep till noon again.
True, because you used to think if you let the child stay up late, they will sleep in later.
Right.
And in fact, no. They will wake up earlier.
Right.
And need you more. 9 p.m. is the new midnight.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen like a New Year's midnight thing in many, many years. So what did you do for work out of college?
Out of college, I got into sales. I have a degree in healthcare administration. So I've always been like really interested in health and fitness and running and all of that. And so studied to do some healthcare administration and worked my way through like the sales world and, you know, started as a drug rep. I sold drugs for a while.
Bringing them doctors the free lunches.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, this is not inspiring. So I made a switch.
Good money though, right?
It was good money. Made a switch. And worked, ended up like working in sales in like the mortgage industry and was able to do pretty well for a few years.
Well, you say sales in the mortgage industry. Is that another way of saying you sold houses?
I sold like, I was a loan officer.
Oh, you were a loan officer. Yeah, okay.
For like a regional bank in Ohio.
Okay.
I was able to take that job with me when we moved here to it. We lived in Atlanta once prior to moving like all around the world. But I was able to bring that job with me down here and then had slight changes. We moved to Singapore and then, well, my husband was in Singapore. We were kind of going back and forth for a year. And then we officially moved to Hong Kong. And that's when I had to leave my job because I couldn't take my job to Hong Kong with me.
What, he worked in what field that had you in Hong Kong?
Shipping.
Okay.
So yeah, had to leave my job and I was like, okay, well.
How many kids did you have at this point?
We had zero kids.
Okay.
But by the time, you know, left my job and I was like, well, okay, here we go. This is probably about the right time to start a family. So my oldest daughter was born while we lived in Hong Kong, which was really cool. Really, really cool way to experience like a culture and world and connections with people.
How old are your kids now?
14, 10, and 6.
Dude, we're right. We're on the same plane, lady.
Every World Cup soccer year.
So my daughter's 11.
Yep.
Sorry. My daughter's 13.
It happens.
My sons are, well, they're all about to have birthdays, so I'm thrown off.
Yes.
Because, you know, you kind of just start saying it ahead of time. 13, 11, and 7, that's the ages. Yeah. Daughter, son, son. So we're in the same.
It's crazy, right?
Well, I don't. Do you have boys or girls? What do you have?
I have two girls on the ends and a boy in the middle.
Okay. So our boys were already pretty crazy, hyper, like typical boys in many ways. And then COVID happened and it inflamed everything bad about their habits. How about that?
Yes.
How about you?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got the girls are, you know, a little daintier, but yeah, COVID has changed some things like parenting wise. And boy, can we just talk about virtual school?
Sure.
How I don't ever want to do that
again.
I
could talk about how they're, other than my daughter doing it, the boys don't even like really, they don't even really get on anymore.
Yeah. And then you realize like these kids are going to grow up and they're going to learn things and maybe they, it happens naturally as well.
Right.
But yeah, we've done okay. Thankfully, I have a daughter who dances and they were able to dance pretty much, you know, start of the school year.
Right.
And so she's had an outlet.
Right.
Their studio did an amazing job and like they were all masked and safe and they had really good protocols in place.
Right.
And that really kept her, I think, at a really important age engaged and moving forward. And then there was a lot of Minecraft.
Right.
And a lot of Roblox.
Sure.
And a lot of YouTube videos of people watching games.
Yes.
I don't understand.
Me either. Not a fan of that stuff either. But that's what they like to watch.
And then my 6-year-old, like pretty much we've got an easel in my office and she sits with me and draws me pictures all day. And, you know, she's still kind of with me all the time.
Yeah. So we often think how different our life would be if we had the 2-girl route, because Emma, our oldest, is very self-disciplined. Her whole room is like her whole world. Mm-hmm. She's got a rabbit. She does her schoolwork. I mean, she's, you know, she just does what she's supposed to do.
Yeah. I think for the bigger kids and even for the younger kids, this year was like a really good, it was almost like college, because, you know, in college you get the syllabus at the beginning of the year and then, or the beginning of the semester or quarter, and then they're like, okay, this is what you're going to learn. And you're on your own to figure out your time.
Right.
And get what needs to be done. And you can either like kind of get it done ahead of time, or you right. can wait until the last minute right. and kind of be in charge of like your own outcome.
Right. But yeah, it wasn't so much for the boys.
Yeah.
So we just finally got the word. So they started going back 2 days a week about a month ago.
I heard the angels singing that day.
Me, as did I. And I heard the angels singing when the email came the other day that said they're actually going full back.
That's awesome.
Now, having said that, I won't believe it till I see it, because they were like, hey, so we took a little quiz. They send it out. Would you feel comfortable sending them back? Which, you know, we've been getting this whole time. And it said, you know, are you comfortable? Yes. And then in the bottom, it was like, on the off chance that we can't, would you teach your kids at home one more year? And we were like, no, we won't. You must take them back. There's no fucking way. Like, that's what I wrote. So when they're actually bye, when they're every morning, when they're gone, I'll believe it.
Yeah. You know, there are some, props to all the teachers, because that's hard.
Correct.
That's really, really hard. I don't know how they do it. You know, listening to virtual kindergarten for months, coming from like the corner of my living room that is the kindergarten classroom, and just listening to them and like, I'm like, I don't know how you people do it. You're amazing. They're amazing.
So back to the running. So you've been, yep. you're running your whole, you said you're running the entire time. Are you racing? Are you winning local 5 or 10 Ks? Like, what is your running sort of career like all these years?
In high school, my coach, Mr. Foley, I'm sorry I never ran the 800. He always tried to get me to run the 800. He's like, you'd probably do a little bit better at the longer distance. But I found the marathon in college uh-huh. because somebody said I couldn't do it.
Oh.
And I was like, No, I'm not going to do that. But found the marathon and started to like kind of get up to that. And I'd like pop into like 5Ks and 10Ks and didn't realize they'd like give like age group awards out and things like that.
Right.
I wasn't like fabulous or, you know, amazing, and I wasn't winning those races. It's actually after getting a little bit older and maybe a little more disciplined that, you know, I'm a solid age grouper. I'm no like champion, but right. I'm a solid age grouper.
Right.
But it wasn't until like the older I've gotten, the better I've gotten at running. Kind of funny,
right?
Like how that works. Maybe it's the discipline and a more regimented lifestyle or something like that, or maybe.
Right. Well, certainly for the longer distances, you can become a better runner as you get older.
Yeah,
because you become more true. Because you become more patient and yeah. older and wiser and
yeah.
all those things.
But so, yeah, I mean, 20 years ago, I was like, I ran one marathon and I was like a minute off of qualifying for Boston for like my first marathon.
Right.
And then my dad, who gave me the FloJo picture, was like, hey, maybe you could do that. And like, maybe you could do that from, you know, someone in your life is like, okay.
Right.
All right. So that's the goal. That's what I'm going to go try to do. And 20 years ago, actually this year was the first Boston and like, tie-dyed shirt, soccer pants.
Nice.
Fueled by youth.
Right.
And that was it.
Right.
But so, you know, I've always run. It's always been a part of my life. Like everywhere I've lived, everywhere I've gone. And I think because, you know, first of all, it just helps in so many ways, right? Physically, mentally, mm-hmm. helps you deal with all the things in life.
Yes.
And then the people that it brings you. And then you figure out like all the amazing stuff that the people around you are doing.
Right.
And that keeps coming back. And now like, when would I know when to shower if I didn't go running?
Right.
Yep.
So you've lived where else besides Singapore?
Singapore to Hong Kong. Okay. We were kind of back and forth in Singapore. It was like service department. So I don't know if it counts, but we were there for a while.
Okay.
Hong Kong, and then we came back to the U.S. and lived in northern New Jersey, right outside of New York City,
okay.
like half an hour outside of New York City, which was interesting because being from Ohio, the only time I'd ever been to New Jersey was like, I went to Princeton once for like some training
right.
for Johnson & Johnson when I worked for them. And, you know, and then I watched The Sopranos.
Right.
So I had no idea what to expect, except for like while we like were coming back from Hong Kong, like our stuff was on a boat and we came home for Christmas one year. And then we like flew to Ohio to have Christmas and then drove to in the car that we like just had to buy.
Right.
To New Jersey to like a service department to figure out where we were going to live. Right. So we had a timeline there. So like that was New Jersey, like showing up a few days after Christmas, like, okay, let's go look for a house and figure out how to live here.
Right.
But that was awesome. Like right outside of New York City, everything that New York City offers is like just amazing. And the running community there was wonderful. And that really sealed the deal. I joined this group called the North Jersey Masters, which was, I wasn't quite a masters runner then, but got to run with a lot of really cool masters runners who knew a lot of stuff.
Right.
And they were slowing down as I was speeding up. So we got to spend a lot of time together.
Nice.
And, you know, hitting all those New York races, like being able to like, you know, hop on a train and get to the Brooklyn half marathon or hop on a train and go to the New York half or, you know, knowing where to park.
Right. Those are big things.
Yeah. And just being able to, you know, pop in the city and go run across, you know, let's just go run in Central Park.
Right.
The Palisades, you know, on the Hudson. So that was really cool. And like some amazing people really like just got right into my heart.
And so then where were you next after that?
After that, we were there for a good bit of time, about 6 years. And then we came here, back to here, but not quite as cool as Brookhaven, where we lived the first time in Atlanta. We were like, okay, well, we got to go to where the schools are.
Well, I grew up in East Cobb.
Okay.
I went to Wheeler High School.
You did all right then. Okay.
And I actually thought that probably would be what I would do when I got older and had my own kids. I'm like, oh, I'll probably live up in the suburbs. But then I lived in the city for the first time and was like, oh, well, this is kind of more my speed and definitely my wife's speed.
Yeah.
So we're not really suburban folk. Where were your kids go to high school?
My kids will go to Pope.
Okay. So Pope was like born while I was up there. Like it wasn't a school. Like everyone went to Wheeler or Walton and then Pope came around, or Sprayberry, and then Pope was born in, I think, 1990 or 91 or something like that.
So yeah, we'll go to Pope, and then I don't see us living there.
The Greyhounds.
The Greyhounds, yes. I run on the, I go to the track there.
Right.
In the mornings. And
did they lock it off during COVID?
No, they're really nice. Thank you, Pope Athletic Director, for being so nice.
Yeah, we had to hop the fence near the middle school near our house.
He's really awesome. We like try to pick up a piece of trash every time we go out there and be really good to, you know, like be good stewards
right.
of the kindness that they offer.
Right.
But they've got this really cool glowing greyhound. They got like the big scoreboard now, and there's this big glowing greyhound that lights up the track now.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
So before COVID, how many races would you do a year?
I'd like race every month, you know, as much as I could with kid schedule and, you know, baseball and dance and this and that. But usually, you know, there was like something going on just about every month.
Right. Like Tess has a thing.
Yes. Like, well, I wouldn't really come down and do Tess's thing because, you know, again, there's the whole like inside the perimeter, outside the perimeter thing.
Of course.
But I would. And I was actually just came down and did one of her Wednesday night group runs.
No, but like her races, like you, people come down from the suburbs to do a race, not just a training run, but.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
That's why I think
And I come down and do your stuff.
Well, I know, which I really appreciate. Well, so there's this whole Suburban Moms crew that came down.
Yes.
And that's sort of like had been growing, right? Yes. So I don't know. Who do you know? Like who told you to come do my race?
Stacy. Was Stacy and Christy?
Right, right. Christy's kind of the big, Christy's one of my biggest ambassadors, friend. If you will.
Yes.
Christy Wynn.
We have an appointment tomorrow to go run. We have it both on our calendars and it is like catch air.
Nice.
And we hook up, like I got a kid who has to go to a dance class right by where she lives.
Right.
And she sets a meeting time and we.
She's actually missed the last couple because of COVID.
Yeah.
So we hope to have you back soon if you're listening. And I think she is. I think she also listens to the show. She'll listen to you.
I bet she. I hope she'll listen to me.
Right.
And I'll tell her tomorrow when we run.
Right.
Yep.
Be like, guess who I just saw? Mm-hmm. She's a big Matt Davis fan. So.
She is. We did the beer mile together.
Oh, my goodness. The beer mile. Didn't you win?
Yep.
I'm having a picture in my mind of you in our video dancing. Isn't that you?
That's me.
The crazy redheaded lady?
That's me.
Aren't you impressed that I remember?
Thank you. I'm impressed that you put that video together.
Well, I hire an editor to do that. And I hire a videographer to do that. That's a guy that's making videos for me on the obstacle side. We've been doing that for years.
Yeah, that was a cool video.
And then I was like, let's do one for this. Let's kind of pump it up because I really thought I was going to be doing it more. Then COVID happened, and I'll probably bring it back.
Yeah.
But let's talk about how you wound up in your current employ.
Okay. So Charge. Oh my gosh, talk about like the best thing ever. You know how you feel like it all kind of comes to this point. So I'm a running coach as well. I've got a running coach. I've got a like a, you know, small private business, and I coach a bunch of women up north. We run a nice group that trains for a race in the fall, the Alpharetta Women's Half Marathon.
That's the shirt you're wearing?
That's the shirt I'm wearing.
Sponsored by Lululemon, it appears.
Yeah, so we meet at Lululemon and we'll go and we'll start up in August again because, you know, it didn't happen this last year, but we'll start up in August again and we'll go and we do like, you know, 12 weeks of training up to that half marathon, and we're going to add some other races to it as well. But so I'm a running coach, and on the running, one of the running coaches' Facebook pages, I saw somebody saying, "Hey, are you interested in coaching for this startup?" And I had just said to my husband, I was like, "I need a job from like where I can work from 10:15 a.m. to noon." Where's that job? And then the next day I saw this post and I was like, "Well, if the universe isn't talking to me."
Do you know what they call that slightly extended version of that though? Do you know what they call it in Australia? I learned this a few years ago. Mum's hours.
Mum's hours.
Because they need to find work that's like 9 to 2.
Yes.
Like that a mom can do like after she drops off the kids and before she picks them up. So yeah. So there's like a mum's hour.
Mum's hour. I like that.
Right.
And those mum's hours are so productive. You can get so much done
right
during that window of time.
Right.
But so I reached out and the rest is history. So this group, this company is called Charge Running.
Right.
And it is a running app, and I'm so mad that it wasn't around 15 years ago.
Because
it's awesome.
Can you be more specific?
It really is. So basically what we do is we connect runners all over the world through a live class. So you basically log into the app, you put your headphones on, you lace up, you click go on this class.
Right.
And inside, you know, you show up at the right time because they're waiting for you. And there's a coach playing music, putting you through a workout, but you're connected with all of these runners from all over through this group chat, and people are dropping in selfies and encouragement and just all sorts of fun that happens out on the run. You get to share that with other people, and it is a ball. They run by kind of a level system. So it's not like, oh, you run an 8-minute pace, you run a 14-minute pace. It doesn't matter. You're either running easy, you're running hard, level 1, level 2, level 3.
Right.
And it is just this feeling of connection that is unlike anything.
It sounds like were primed for COVID.
We were. We've been around since prior to COVID. But yes, we were primed for COVID. It was just the perfect thing. So we had a bunch of new, you know, people come into the app. And it is just one huge running family.
Right.
Of people encouraging each other.
When was the app born?
What, it's 4 years old.
Okay. So how quickly did you see sort of the hockey stick, like once COVID hit? Like, so like March of last year, like how quickly did you guys like... Did you have to adapt much? Did you adapt much? Like, how did all that go?
We did. Well, we saw, there's always been a need for this, especially like as a mom who has, you know, mom's hours, and you're like, you know, you're all by yourself. You've got young kids or whatever. It's for more than just moms.
But, right.
You know, you need to get out and run, but you don't have the ability to get down to like the Wednesday night run or the Saturday night run or whatever. But there's somebody like waiting for you at the end of your driveway virtually. So it's just fantastic for that. But after COVID happened, we actually put on a half marathon, and we called it, you remember when like everybody was trying to get toilet paper? We called it the Toilet Paper Chase Half Marathon.
Nice.
And, you know, everybody came together and had a huge event, and people were dropping in pictures of their like toilet paper medals that
right.
they made for themselves and,
right.
And so forth there. But so we had a huge influx of runners, and they stay because they figure out like, yes, this was great because of COVID, but this is also great because of like the way life is now. People are busy. You can't always get to your live run groups.
Right.
And now people are like using the app while they're with their live run groups. Or while they're racing live races.
Well, I remember. So I remember that Tess did one of her races through you guys.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's when I first heard of it.
Okay.
So talk to me about how a race director is using it. So it's not just like a group run or a workout. And by the way, is it literally just like they're going all day and you just pick one? Like there's a Wednesday 8 a.m., there's a Wednesday noon.
Yeah, there are 20 live classes a day. There are two sides to the platform. You've got the training platform where there's the coaching. That happens live. If you can't make an exact live class, they happen all day long, so there's always going to be one close to when you want to go run. You can do an on-demand class. So it's just a pre-recorded class. But then the other side of it is the racing. So Tess and I met at the beginning of COVID.
Okay.
And we were on some Atlanta, Zoom call of, how we're all going to do this.
Right.
And we met and hit it off. And I've always, known about her as well. And she was like, ooh, I need this. So we put on a Summer Heat half marathon for her. She's actually got her second Summer Heat half marathon coming up this summer, which is very cool. And we put on the race.
Right, her big October race.
Yeah. So that was incredible to bring everybody together for that. And so we do these live races.
But for the race, for example, was there still an actual meetup and you could do it on your own in your neighborhood, or was it just virtual?
It was officially just virtual this year.
Okay.
There were some groups around town that would meet up. And they popped in some incredible pictures into the chat,
right?
Which was really cool. So somebody was, running on the Beltline all by themselves,
right?
Somebody with their group, safely socially distanced or whatever, doing it together and dropping it in. So they were all running together. Everybody connected through the live leaderboard. There's the leaderboard. There's the chat, and then she had some incredible co-hosts with our charge coaches as well. So we did the 5K and we did the half marathon. It was a really, really great event. You can do it on demand.
So if I wanted to do one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to do one, you could you're saying she, like, you can have other people popping in? Like, so do I, if I'm going to do a race, is it like a Zoom and I just log in and I say everybody go and then I talk, or...
We can bring you in that way. We've got some cool technology.
Right.
I'm going to back up just a little bit, because one thing that we've done with a lot of these virtual races is helped nonprofits, we've helped these nonprofits raise like more than $3 million just since COVID started, and like in a really hard fundraising year. So we help our race directors and nonprofits that we're working with kind of script out their event. So like the messaging from the race is going to be a little different than the messaging from, let's say, a Girls on the Run 5K.
Right.
But you're getting across the messaging. You get to have an opportunity to tell people about the reason why they're running. Of course, you're motivating and you're having a good time, but you're letting them know like where their race fee is going.
Right.
A lot of races benefit nonprofits and things like that.
Right.
You can feature those. And then we've got the ability to bring somebody else in on the mic. So you've got your charge coach. That's me or one of my other awesome coworkers. And
right.
then we can bring someone in. We can also drop in some sound recordings. So you can really do some like really cool success stories and really compelling moments.
Do you view your competition as the big reg companies like Active and Run Sign Up, or do you think your competition is more other people who are just trying to do the virtual stuff? Like, how do you guys like see yourself in the space?
We're completely different. Nobody else is doing this. So I think our competition is having people know that we are a thing.
Right.
Because people run in the app and they're like, wait a minute, where has this been my entire life? I didn't know that this existed.
Right.
I didn't know.
Right.
I could
but I'm saying
this.
That all these race companies like are rushing to like figure out
yeah.
how to do virtual, because virtual was already kind of a thing and then COVID happened. So I feel like they're all trying to figure it out. Everybody wants
yeah.
those freaking reg dollars because they know how many races happen every
yeah.
year.
I think we're so different. I don't really view them as competition, maybe complementary to what we do. We don't do the registration platform.
You don't do that.
No. So as a race director, you would go and put on your, get people signed up for your race. You just communicate the information about charge. This is where we're going to go. You get people to sign up for your race, and then you tell them, this is how you log in. This is what you do. We help with that part.
Okay, so you just okay.
We're
so,
like a timing company, but
right. So
awesome.
You just import all their data.
We don't even need to have them provide us that data. Because they're going to log into the app.
Right.
And then we share who logged in, who finished up.
Okay, so you export the data back to them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say, why not go after the reg dollar, though? Because there's a lot of it.
Absolutely. We would love to do that. We are growing very rapidly.
Right.
And looking to do all sorts of great stuff in that virtual racing platform.
Are you allowed to share numbers, like how many people are using the app? And
not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. She said. Are you allowed to share how many like how big the company is, how many employees you have, or how many coaches there are?
How many coaches there? I you know what? I'd have to count. I think that we've got like 12 coaches.
Okay.
We're all over the country.
Right.
We've got three awesome founders.
Where is the company based?
Out of Chicago.
Okay.
However, we're everywhere. We've got coaches in Chicago, coaches in Massachusetts, Florida, three here in Georgia, in Atlanta.
Who are they? Would I know them?
Well, you know Tess Marshall.
Okay.
Natalie Witt. Tess is running Nerds.
Right.
And runs social.
Right.
Here in Atlanta. And then Natalie is involved with the West Midtown Run Club.
Right.
And so they're here in Atlanta. We've got a coach in Jacksonville, Florida, a coach in Orlando, Colorado.
So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this. You can tell me if you take it as a compliment or not. It's like you're the real life Peloton.
Yes, that's exactly what our founders use when they are talking about it.
Okay.
We're like Peloton for running.
Right.
But way better, because the people that we connect with are more than like Matt B. Davis 456. You know, good job, Matt B. Davis 456. It is Matt shows up in my run on Tuesday. I know Matt usually runs about this pace. You know, Matt can communicate back with me.
Right.
And I can cheer you on, and I know what you're training
right.
for.
Well, so I am not a Peloton owner. And I'm a big skeptic of most things. And I feel like they're having a moment, and I don't see it sticking, because all inside machines eventually, like, you know, become the dry cleaning hanger, right? And I know that COVID turned some machines into like, well, this is just a massive lifestyle shift, right? Mm-hmm. I actually work from home now and I do this. So I know that there's an uptick overall, but I just feel like I wouldn't invest in Peloton. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like, whereas like you always want to go outside and there's always people to go outside. So, that would be my pitch.
Yeah.
People say, what do you do? Charge running. What's that? We're like a real life Peloton. Instead of sitting in your house on a bike, you go out and you run and you have an awesome community, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And we do.
I wasn't sure if you were going to see it as a compliment or not.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. It is because, well, first of all, charge, like, nobody knows it's a thing.
And,
right?
And Peloton has like a whole rich white people thing, whereas everybody can run.
Everybody can run. And the beautiful thing about running is that, like, you throw a pair of black spandex on and running shoes, and it doesn't matter where you're from,
right.
Wearing spandex, but we're both wearing black running shorts.
Right.
But
and nothing else. Go ahead.
And it doesn't matter where you're from.
Right.
How much money you have.
Right.
How much education you have.
Right.
Access issues are always different, of course, for people. And that's something that's really important to me personally, to help bring access to the running community and the benefits of running. But, you know, we're all equal when we put on our running shoes.
Right.
And the thing I love about the Charge app is that you can be running in the same run with a guy in New Jersey who's been, you know, a 254 marathoner, or someone who just had a baby and is pushing a stroller and, you know, is just trying to move forward. Old people, young people. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, we're all kind of doing our own thing, but helping each other along. And that's the gift of running, I think, in general. So we're here to stay. And I think we also complement live racing too.
Right.
So I think there's a good future for Charge moving forward as the world starts to venture back outside. But do you know we work on the treadmill too?
You do work on the treadmill.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a treadmill guy.
I wouldn't put you as a treadmill guy.
So are you now working more than 10 to noon, or do you still like super part-time, or?
I like live and breathe it and live and breathe running.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it's all, I'm either working on my athletes or I'm running my own run. or working on the coaching side of charge, or, you know, working with these virtual partnerships. I work a lot with the nonprofits to help them create and like curate their races.
Right.
You know, but I love it. So
on the tech side,
yeah.
Are you able to, I did this. Did you hear about my virtual race?
I did not, Matt.
Okay, it's fine. So it was called the Ultravirus Race, and it was a virtual ultra where you ran as many 5-mile loops as you could in 12 hours. So you go out, you run 5 miles, you come back, you check in on the Zoom. Hey, everybody, you go back out, right?
I love it.
It was a huge hit. First two were a huge hit. I did two more that were not as huge hits, but we still did them. But it was great. But it was the one thing we found that we couldn't get help with was, so we built our own tracking, yes, because most races are built with one start and one finish.
Yep.
Do you guys have a multi-lap option yet?
Well, I tell you what, we are doing in May, we are hosting an event called the 5x5K for Good, where they have a live race in Dallas.
Right.
And they have 5 finish lines that they set up around the Dallas community.
Right.
And then you just go and run it on your own. You know, you're chip timed or whatever. But we're doing the virtual side of it where we have 5x5K happening over a 24-hour period. So we set up 5 5Ks. So it would track 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So you could do that. You could do them all if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Because that was the one, like I said, we literally built our own, and we've actually sold it to a couple of the races now, because most things like are only set up to like, you have one start time and one finish time. And here you have a start and a finish for lap one. You have a start and a finish for lap two. And then eventually like 12.
Yeah.
And so that's how you pick to see who's won.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, you could definitely do that. You got to set the live event. And then what you do is you just take it and then you put it on demand. And then people, if they can't be there at 9 a.m. for the start,
right,
they show up on their own time and they do it and send you their results. Let's do it.
All right. All right. Well, listen, we always wrap things up with the Atlanta quiz.
Oh, gosh.
Which is basically your favorite things. Okay. Are you ready for the Atlanta favorites quiz?
I really hope so.
Okay. It's all personal preference. There are no wrong answers.
Okay.
Okay. So rank these in importance to you. Okay. Braves, Falcons, Hawks, United.
Oh, Braves, United, Falcons, Hawks.
Okay. What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Covered, smothered.
Okay. That's it? Just hash browns?
I haven't been to a Waffle House in a really long time. Since the last time, maybe 2 a.m. used to be on the other side of 2 a.m.
Right. So you've never gone like after like a marathon or anything?
No.
It's good. I can tell you that. Yeah. Your body is craving calories.
I've been to Waffle House once since this second iteration of living in Atlanta.
Okay.
Sorry, Waffle House, you're awesome.
It's okay. Kroger or Publix?
I'm from Ohio, so Kroger, even though they're really nice at Publix. It took a little bit after moving back from New Jersey.
Right.
When they were like, can we help you with your groceries, ma'am? And I'm like, what do you want from me?
Right.
But I'll take it now. But yeah, right. Kroger.
Oh man, what were my other Atlanta questions? I haven't done this in a little bit. We lost meeting people in person, and that was the whole point of the Atlanta podcast.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because like my other podcast, this obstacle racing world I do, I can do Zoom all day. But for Atlanta, I hadn't actually done any in a bit, and I actually forgot my Atlanta questions.
Uh-oh.
We'll go with this is what I always ask. Who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Who should you have next on the Atlanta podcast? I don't know. You could do a deep dive into my world and the Cobb County schools. There's a lot of drama going on.
Really?
There.
What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, gosh. All this COVID money coming around.
Oh, are people stealing it?
The funds and things like that. I know who you should have next.
Okay.
Totally. I just came up with it. My girlfriend, Heather Tolly Bauer. She is a comedian.
Okay.
She is a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
Crushing the world.
Okay.
She's also a colon cancer survivor.
All right.
And she is amazing. I'll connect you guys.
You should make that introduction happen.
Yeah. She makes me laugh. I like to send her jokes.
Comedians love when you send them jokes, by the way. Of course they do. Why would you do that? You're going to send like Emeril, like, hey, Emeril, here's what you should try for, you know, your next recipe. Like, try this.
Yeah. But yeah, she's awesome. She's doing some great stuff. She's absolutely doing some great stuff. So yeah, Heather.
All right. Well, thanks for coming down from the burbs, man.
Hey, I'm so excited to be inside the perimeter, Matt. I'm also really excited to run. When I messaged you and I was like, hey, you want to run when we're done?
Now, here's the thing. I did just finish my strength thing.
Okay.
So, like, got to take it easy.
I will.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't. Because I've done that. I've gone for runs, like, you're supposed to wait a few hours and not and be like, why does everything hurt? It's like, oh, because I just worked every fucking muscle in my body and now I'm going to go run. So, all right, we'll go run. We'll use your app.
Cool.
All right, good seeing you.
Thank you.
All right, bye. There you have it, folks. That was Betsy. We're so stoked to be back here in the Alkaloid offices.